morning, see what he has for us. We're going to talk just briefly, just a shorter message on emptying self this morning, about getting the stuff out so that we can refill with the Spirit of God. But let's start with some prayer. Father, we are coming before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are grateful to be here in your presence. We're grateful to be here with you and your people. Grateful to be able to learn and to just exalt you together, to worship and spend time praising you and thanking you. We pray for testimony and for just all the things that you've done in our life up to this point. Lord, you've got each and every one of us to this moment right here in this room where we can partake of your word together, that we can learn and grow and allow you to do something special in our heart and our mind. Lord, we thank you for it. Pray that you help us to receive it, Lord, to take it in and to allow it to do some work in our life, to then chew on it, mull it over, think on it, take it with us as we go, Lord, and allow you to empty ourselves as we go through this week, that we yield ourselves to you in such a way that it takes place day after day, moment after moment, for the rest of our lives, Lord. We pray you, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the title, Emptying Self. Okay, emptying self. But I thought of kind of a question in the beginning as far as what would it look like if you lived in the fullness of what God intended for you? If you lived in the fullness, okay, not just a little bit of what God wants for your life, not just occasionally walking in the Spirit. What would it look like if you walked in the fullness of God's intention for your life? Every moment, every day, you're stepping into exactly what God intended, what He wanted for your life. You know, the early Christian church, we can look at what happened with them. And I know that that early church flourished as they shared the gospel. Thousands were coming to Christ in one day. The Bible talks about them ministering and praying and the persecution and things that happened. But that early Christian church flourished not because they were Bible scholars, okay, not because they knew everything there was to know about God and could articulate it and put it into, you know, the right words, but they flourished because they walked in the power of God. It was tangible. It was visible. They could see and experience, and people could see what was happening in their life. They heard the testimonies. They recounted the stories of what Jesus had done, and it was so real to them that they then expected those things to happen in their own life as well. Jesus told the early disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, as the King James puts it. Okay, they were endued with power. It said to wait for that, and those guys did. Okay, they waited. We call it the day of Pentecost. Many have coined it that. But it was this day when the Holy Spirit filled the room, overwhelmed them, filled them to the point that they became almost like different beings, like different Christians. They were now anointed to go and to do, to preach with power, to share, to minister, to walk in the healings and the miraculous, the things that even before that they had not quite seen yet. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And that is what I'm talking about this morning. The first Christian churches were overflowing with the Spirit of God. It was like could not be contained to the point it's kind of pouring out into the community around them. They yielded themselves to be filled, to be consecrated, which means set apart, okay, to be governed, and to be used by the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want today, Holy Spirit, that's what I want to do. That was their attitude. I am a vessel. Fill me, overflow me, do what you want to do in and through my life. They surrendered themselves as instruments, okay, a tool, something to be used by the power of the Holy Spirit. They submitted themselves as a vessel, something to be filled up till overflowing, to carry His presence. We sang the song, I will carry your name forever. Okay, we are a vessel that carries the name of Christ, the power of God. The Holy Spirit dwelt in them and used them to carry out the will of God. Okay, so as I'm talking about, what would it look like to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, Holy Spirit is intricately involved in that. In order for you to walk in the fullness of God, in order for His power, His glory to manifest itself through your life, there is one thing that is absolutely necessary. You have to be filled with the Spirit to the point He is overflowing your life. You cannot do it on your own strength. Willpower does not get it done, not for very long. Some people can muster it up and try to work things for a little bit, but Holy Spirit empowers people to get things done. Now, I don't want you to think that you have to comprehend everything about the Holy Spirit. You don't have to understand all that He is. He is massive in my mind. Okay, I've been walking with the Lord a lot of years now. I don't even know how many. He is still big and massive to me. Every day I wake up and it's like, whoo, Holy's got it. Holy can do it. Holy knows. Holy understands. Holy, it's His glory and power. You don't have to know everything about Him in order to be filled with Him, in order to let Him start walking and operating in and through your life. He is very willing to operate through anyone who desires Him to do so. Okay, did you hear that? The Holy Spirit is willing to operate through anyone who is willing to let Him do so. Yeah. Yield yourself to Him. Let Him do it. Jesus said very plainly that those who ask for the Holy Spirit, He will be given to them. Those who seek will find. It's only through, I'd say, an ignorance that there even is a Holy Spirit that should prevent anyone from asking for this free gift. Okay, there's an example, or more than one, in the Bible of people that just didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. And so they told them about the Holy Spirit. They said, "We want the Holy Spirit," and they received right then and there. Okay, and so that, in my, what I read in the Bible is the only place, the only way that people should not want the Holy Spirit is because they don't know about Him at all. Okay, but you guys know some about the Holy Spirit already. Once we know about Him, we should earnestly desire to be consumed by Him, to be overwhelmed by Him, to let Him live and breathe right through us. But in order for that to happen, the key is in rooting out that number one thing that hinders the Spirit of God from having free course in our lives, and that is self. In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24, Jesus says unto His disciples, "If any man will come after Me," in other words, if anybody's going to follow after Jesus as a disciple, a learner, He said, "Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and then follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." You know, have you ever wondered why you do not experience more of the visible manifestations of God in your life? Okay, you hear guys like me talking about laying hands on somebody and praying and seeing them healed. I saw a baby healed of brain cancer. I've seen people's eyes healed. I've seen broken arms healed right before my eyes, within the hour. Okay, so you hear stories about those things. I've told stories even, I think last week, about God manifesting Himself on a mountaintop to the point that it was so tangible and real that I literally felt His presence was right there with me on that mountain. Maybe you have a friend that receives a word of knowledge. They know something about your life, or they speak something into your life that they have no possible way of knowing except for a divine intervention from God. Okay? Or maybe somebody you know prays in the Spirit. They speak in an unknown tongue, and they're seeking and allowing the Holy Spirit to intervene for them. And you're wondering why you don't see and experience more of that stuff. Why is other people hearing that? Why do they get to experience that and I am not? Hey, well, maybe, this is just a maybe. The problem is that you do not desire to even see that stuff in your own life. Maybe you're content just knowing about God, hearing an occasional story from a pastor, a missionary, somebody who's truly spirit, walking in the spirit. Maybe you're content with just hearing a story once in a while, and that is just satisfying. That, well, yeah, God's real. He's doing something. Look what he did in that person's life. Maybe you're content with that. You're satisfied with that, with God working in somebody else's life. I know for me personally that I am not satisfied solely with other people's experiences. In my mind, if God is given these gifts, they receive something and are walking in it, they get to experience this good, glorious thing from God, and it's freely given to me too, I want that. Why do they get to have all the fun, right? I wanna walk in that too. Why can't I experience that? The answer is, I can. Okay, I can. All those things are available to any child in the body of Christ, any servant of Jesus. We can walk in that. We can have that. We can experience those same things. It is not, God said, this is for this guy only. Okay? It's not just for them. You have to reach out by faith, believe it, believe for it, grab hold of it, receive it, and then begin to live it, to walk in it. If you say, I'm going for it, the Holy Spirit will say, you don't have to go very far. Here you go. I'd like to read to you this morning a short excerpt from a book. The book is called Experiencing the Holy Spirit. It's by a guy named Andrew Murray. There are several of his books in the back. I've read his works many times. He's very, at times, is very convicting. The guy walked in it. He walked in it. He lived it. He didn't just preach it, he knew and experienced the Holy Spirit in a very powerful way. His life walked as he went through it with a very tangible devotion to the Lord. You can read his works and know that this man was committed every part of his being to God. Okay, and it showed, it permeated in everything that he did. I want to just read you, it's a few paragraphs here, but I think it'll bless you. It said this, he said, many seek the full blessing of Pentecost. Remember when I said they waited in Jerusalem until they be endued with power? They call that the day of Pentecost. Many people seek the full blessing of Pentecost and yet do not find it. Often the question is asked, what may be the cause of this failure? To this inquiry, more than one answer may be given. Sometimes the solution to the problem points in the direction of one or another sin which is still permitted. Things like worldliness, lovelessness, lack of humility, and ignorance of the secret of walking in the way of faith. And indeed, many more causes may also be often mentioned with justice. Many people think that they have come to the Lord and sincerely confess these failures and put them away, yet they complain that the blessing does not come. It is necessary to point out that there still remains one great hindrance, namely the root from which all other hindrances have their beginning. The root is nothing less than our individual self. The hidden life of self, with its varied forms of self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-confidence, and self-satisfaction. The more earnestly anyone strives to obtain the blessing and desires to know what prevents him, the more certainly he will be led to the discovery that it is here that the great evil lies. He himself is his worst enemy. He must be liberated from himself, and the self-life to which he clings must be utterly lost. Only then can the life of God entirely fill him. Okay, this is what I'm talking about this morning. It is denying self to the point that it transforms your life like nothing else. Okay, just laying it down. Just saying, I give up my life. I lay it down. Give it to Jesus. Okay, we've all thought that. We've said that. Maybe at times we've said, Lord, I give you this problem. I give you whatever. I'm saying, give him your life. Okay, your entire being. That God, if you call me to go to Africa, I will go. If you call me to talk to that person in the convenience store, I will do it. If you call me to pray for this person or that, or if you want me to go to church tonight, I will go. And we yield ourselves to whatever it is that he is asking of us. Denying self is a complete emptying of everything selfish, everything self-focused, okay, everything self-centered about you. It is the persona of Jesus' statement when he said, not my will be done, but thine. That sums it up. Did Jesus want to go and be hung on a cross and murdered and tortured? No, nobody does. But he knew that that was the will of his Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That sums up what I'm talking about. Emptying self exasperates the top two commandments in the kingdom of God. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't do that when you're focused on yourself. Emptying self is praying for those who have hurt you. Can't do it if you're focused on self. I've tried it. It doesn't work. You just don't feel like it. You just don't feel like praying for that person. Emptying self is esteeming others better than yourself. Emptying self is thinking not just on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. Okay, those are all scriptures. It is putting the plan and the will of God ahead of your own will and plan. It is finding your deepest satisfaction not in fulfilling your own selfish ambition, trying to make something out of yourself, but finding the greatest joy, the greatest contentment in yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and engaging in every minute detail of life that God intended. It is saying, I do not want to miss one moment that God wanted me to do. God wanted to use me in some way. I don't want to hold that back in any way. It is settling for nothing less than the absolute perfect will of God. Not just for your life, but also for the lives of all those people that God would send you to influence. This can only happen when you're emptied of self and filled with the Spirit. Okay, if you picture it like two pitchers of liquid, okay? I call them pitchers of water. Okay, but if you have two pitchers of water, okay, they're both full. We're instructed in the scriptures to be filled with the Spirit. But if both the pitchers are full, the Spirit of God can get poured into us, and some of it is going to permeate. Picture that, pouring water into water. Some of it is going to go in. But the bulk of this pitcher is going to just overflow out the top. You will get some of the Holy Spirit poured into you. You will see some of His workings in your life. But if you dump out the other pitcher, you empty the life of self. Now the Holy Spirit pours in and it fills it entirely from the bottom up. Okay, that is the picture. That's what I see when I think of being emptied of self so that we can be filled with the Spirit. Okay? It's not about the Spirit trying to force out self. Okay? It's about us taking a conscious effort to say, I'm going to get rid of self so I got more room for holy in my life. I want more of Him. Okay? More of Him, less of me. Okay? If we emptied out that pitcher, then we would be able to take in the entirety of the Spirit of God and truly be filled with the Spirit. So what overflows is then no longer a mix of me and Spirit. It is just the Holy Spirit emanating through my life. Okay, that's where I'm at. That's what I want. I want to see that. I want to experience that more. Now, many people in the body of Christ are very content to hang on to self. Okay, and I'll explain why. It's because people become accustomed to falling short of the glory of God. We all know the scripture, right? Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we become accustomed that I'm just a sinner. I just have these things in my life. Okay? And we become accustomed to that. We get used to that. We quit feeling like there's anything really wrong with that. Okay? We quit thinking that being unfaithful to God, okay, or backsliding, living in disobedience, willful disobedience, just kind of going through, yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I do. Okay, living in those kind of things are no longer regarded as a matter of shame or conviction. We get to the point we just kind of shrug our shoulders and go on with our day. It's no longer convicting to the point that I'm going to actually do something different about it. Now, I'm not implying that we should go around feeling guilty all day and hanging our heads and moping around, okay, hanging our heads down thinking that, you know, I'm no good at all. But if you have the attitude that, you know what, being a little crass is just the way I am. Or if we have the attitude that, you know, I just don't really like people. Okay, or if we say, I'm just not a very loving person. That's just not who I am. Or maybe I'm just not a very giving person. I'm not very generous with my finances. None of those things describe the way of the sincere, believing Christian. Okay, being stingy and tight, not loving people, being crass and foul, thinking that it's okay. None of that is the way of the believing Christian. And that complacency, okay, that sort of nonchalant attitude towards the things that are not of God in our life is hindering the filling of the Spirit. That is self that is still on the throne and keeping the Spirit at bay. The Holy Spirit is he's a gentleman. I have said this before, He will not force Himself on you. Okay, He is more than willing to empower you beyond your wildest dreams. You will walk in an anointing and an authority and a power like you've never seen before if you will let Him do it. But He will not make you yield to His strength. He will not make it happen. Being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit will make you different from the world around you. Okay, people will look at you different. I have a very close friend, the guy that led me to Christ, walked in this a lot. He walked in the supernatural, and the guy was weird in most people's eyes. I love the guy to this day. He's my best friend ever. But most people saw this guy. I mean, he would give a word of knowledge. He would speak something into somebody's life, and they're like, yeah, that ain't happening, and walk away, and it happened. Okay, he would speak into people's lives. He would lay hands on people and they'd be healed. He did some of the strangest things, and yet he was simply yielding himself to the Spirit of God over and over and over. Things that were so far out you would never imagine it was even a God thought, and he would do it, and we'd be like, that's crazy, that's ludicrous, and 5 minutes later, it's happening. It all came to pass, whatever he said, or if he said something was on the horizon, and all of a sudden it was beginning to happen. Okay, the Spirit of the world and the Holy Spirit are completely opposite. So to walk in the Spirit of the world, you will connect and join in with the people of the world, okay, the lost. To walk in the Spirit, you will connect more with other believers. You will connect with those that are also walking in that. Jesus said of His disciples in John 17:16, he said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Jesus wasn't of the world. He did not live according to it. The Apostle Paul concurred with that. 1 Corinthians 2:12, he said, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God." Okay, the spirit of the world and the spirit of God are in a life and death conflict with one another. They are, as the Apostle Paul put it, at enmity one against another. Okay, they can't join in, and it's like trying to pour the two pitchers together. Okay, you're going to get a mix of self and spirit. I don't want a mix of self and spirit. I want spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to have His way. The carnal, selfish spirit of the world needs to be emptied out to make truly living and walking in the Spirit of God possible. Light drives out darkness. Go into a dark room, flip a switch, the light wins. Right? Amen. Light drives out darkness. The Spirit of heaven expels the spirit of the world if we make room for Him and give Him permission to do so. Okay, that which attempts to keep us from denying ourselves, that which wants you to be selfish, is nothing short of a demonic spirit. It is rooted in Satan. I know that because of what he did through Peter. If you remember a conversation between Jesus and the disciples, Jesus started speaking about his crucifixion and his death on the cross, and Peter, one of his closest disciples, been walking with him for a long time and knew what should be happening, he gets seduced by Satan. He rebukes Jesus, and he says, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall never be unto thee." If Jesus didn't go to the cross and crucifixion and all that, we wouldn't be here, right, doing what we're doing. Not just, we probably wouldn't be here at all. The Lord rebukes Satan, not Peter. Okay, he rebukes Satan. Then he turns to the disciples that are standing there, and he tells them that not only must he himself lay down his life, but that the same sacrifice was to be made by every one of his disciples. Every disciple of Christ must deny himself and take up the cross in order that he himself might be crucified on it. Remember Jesus carrying his cross? Okay, they made him bear his own cross. When he tells you to take up your cross and follow me, he's saying, follow me to Golgotha. Follow me to the hill where we're going to be crucified together. We lay down our life. The Apostle Paul said, "I die daily." Okay, he got it. And that's what I'm hoping we can get too. He that seeks to save his life will lose it. But he that is prepared to lose his life for Christ's sake will find it. Okay, that great stumbling block that lies in the way of the fullness of being filled with the Spirit is summed up in the fact that two opposite, two diverse things cannot occupy the same place at the same time. Okay, that which is of God and that which is not of God cannot fill your heart at the same time. Selfish ambition hinders the entrance of the life of God. Okay, when your life is cast out, then the life of God fills you. It doesn't leave a void. He fills you back up. Andrew Murray, that I quoted earlier, put it this way. He said, "As long as I myself am still something, Jesus himself cannot be everything. My life must be expelled, then the Spirit of Jesus will flow in." It's like John the Baptist said when he knew that Jesus had arrived on the earth. He said, "I must decrease, but he must increase." Okay, he got it. Let that be your heart's desire. Okay, from this moment, okay, from this service forward, let it be an even greater desire. Let us empty out ourselves. Okay, pour out ourselves so that we may increase in the fullness of the Spirit. Okay, that we can see Him manifesting through our life, not just in the lives of somebody else. Okay, it comes when we yield ourselves to Him in full submission. Amen. Father God, we are praising You this morning. You are a King worth serving. You are a God of creation, a God of power, a God of extremes. Father, You are a God that is bigger than any problem, any concern, any detriment here on this earth. And we choose right here and now to faithfully yield ourselves to You, saying, God, have Your way. Not just words that we speak, but God, truly, have Your way in our lives. Let us live differently because of You and Your Spirit within us. Let us choose to empty ourselves out, to pour out anything that is not of You, to make room for more of You in our life. Let us love the unlovable. Let us pray for those who have despitefully used us. Let us give until it hurts. Let us lay down our life and take up the cross, saying, whatever You want to do today, I'm willing. You will make me able. Father, we praise You and exalt You this morning. I pray that You speak deeply to our hearts. We yield ourselves in Your power. We yield to Your anointing. We yield to Your Holy Spirit, that You may truly be and live and show up, show out in and through us every day. God, we yield to You. We yield to You. We yield to You. Let You be known through us. Let You be manifested through us. Let You be our lead, to be our guide. Let You be the strength that we live from. Let You be the glory that we seek to achieve. Let it be about You. We praise You. We exalt You. It's in Jesus' name that we say, Amen.